Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi and welcome to the 79th episode of Robots. My name is Jana, and in today's episode we'll be learning all about the Billybot, a sophisticated yet affordable robot that's meant to inspire the next generation of roboticists. But first, here's the latest developments and news in robotics. Engineers at the Department of Control Engineering at the Czech Technical Institute in Prague have built a robot that can juggle up to 5 billiard balls. It consists of a linear actuator that can launch balls when juggling up and two arms that each move up and down on a linear axis and rotate horizontally to juggle the balls. The robot is also equipped with a high-speed video camera, but it is too slow to provide real-time feedback on the ball positions and is therefore only used to determine if a ball has been dropped. The robot started as an educational project in 2005 and can now juggle 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5 balls. Researchers at the Chinese University of Hong Kong have created an autonomous tree-climbing robot. The robot consists of two four-clawed hands, which are joined together by a flexible linear actuator. It moves by alternately attaching one of its hands to the tree and then extending the linear actuator to feel for a good grip for its other hand. The current version solely relies on tactile sensing. The researchers are now working on ways to help TreeBot move more effectively by using cameras to recognize suitable climbing paths. For many hobby roboticists, building a robot from scratch can be a complicated, time-consuming and extremely expensive task. The Billybot project set out to solve this problem by developing a sophisticated yet affordable robotics platform that's available for purchase by almost anyone. The Billybot boasts a powerful computer, an iRobot Create, a Kinect sensor, mounting hardware and the ROS Robotics Operating System. It's designed primarily for the education and hobbyist communities and is meant to inspire robot enthusiasts around the world to try their hand at programming. Our reporter Sabine met with systems robotics engineer Gareth Gallagher from the MIT, a passionate roboticist who helped to create the Billybot.
Hi Gareth, welcome to Robots.
Hello.
Can you please present yourself to our listeners?
So I'm a research engineer at the MIT CSAIL Laboratories. I work with the PR2, which is a robot by Willigerage, and I've been working at MIT for about a year and a half now.
And what's the Billybot project?
The Billybot project is basically an effort to build cheap, affordable robots for hobbyists, developers, educators, and basically anyone who wants to be able to access a really good research-style robot for not much money.
A lot of people are building research-style robots. Why do you think the Billybot project is different?
Well, so it's much cheaper than most research-style robots. And it has a lot more sensor ability, and that's basically because of the Kinect. The Kinect, when it came out, as a roboticist, I was just amazed. It gives way more data and way more accurate data than most of the sensors that we use, at least at short ranges. And so this has allowed us to actually, you know, make a very cheap robot just by, you know, using the Kinect as the main sensor and then building, you know, very cheap components with it.
I think the name Billybot comes from the fact that it's cheap, right?
Right. The Billybot actually is from the German word billig, meaning affordable. Yeah.
And how did this whole project start?
So it started basically because I'd been playing with a Kinect. I made some videos that got a lot of online popularity. And so I decided to sort of do something with that press and you know, make something to affect the community. And also just sort of a lot of the videos that were being made of like all the different Connect hacks really weren't taking into advantage the or taking advantage of the great robotics applications of the Connect. And I felt that people really didn't understand what the sensor could offer them. And so I wanted to make a robot that basically just showcased the sensor ability.
Who else is involved?
So initially it was just myself. I'm in a class here at MIT called the Founders Journey. And there I met Brian and Neil, who are two LGO students, which is just, they are doing a master's in computer science as well as an MBA. So they got involved with the project, and they've actually been really helpful in helping with the business side of things. And then we have a few developers who just started helping us basically in their free time just to get this project underway.
Okay, let's look at the robot more in detail. What types of sensors, actuators, CPU does this robot have?
So obviously the main sensor is the Connect. And it actually, I mean, it can do pretty much all the sensing that a robot needs to do. I mean, because it can get depth data and over a pretty wide area. The robot does actually have some extra sensors. It has all the sensors that would normally come with the iRobot, the Roomba. So it has a bump sensor. It has cliff sensors, which are basically just downward pointing sensors to prevent it from going off stairs and such, as well as sensors to help it do wall following and that type of thing. We added in a gyro on our custom electronics board, which basically just helps it get a better understanding of its rotation. To correct the errors it has in rotation.
And it uses ROS?
Yes. The software that's on the robot it's ROS. It's called the Robotic Operating System, and it's basically a huge library of all of the top research in robotics that's been done by various universities across the country. Willa Garage, the company that has been maintaining ROS, has really been adamant about just getting together all this good robotics work into one solid framework. So it allows you to do a lot of things with a robot that you might not know how to do or not have time to put together in one piece of code.
A lot of these components, as you said, the iCreate, the Connect, ROS, they're available to the community already, but there's really one big difference, which is the manipulator. What I heard basically, for example, from Joe Jones from Harvest Automation, he was saying that the next step from the Roomba to robots in your home is really getting them to manipulate their environment, really having an arm that can work with the environment. Was this a challenging step to sort of integrate all this and add the manipulation?
So I would normally say that the integration would be hard, except Ross actually does a lot of work to make it so that integration isn't hard. I would disagree with Joe that the next step was a manipulator. I think the next step really was a decent sensor. And I think that, you know, the big step really was we needed to actually do real sensing, because the crate can't actually do long-range sensing. However, the next step after that, I would agree, is a manipulator. And so, I mean, it turns out is actually a lot easier than I had expected. I was expecting to have a, you know, really hard time putting everything together, but things sort of came together quite nicely. I did consult some mechanical engineers around here, and so that, you know, got a lot of expert knowledge in that area. But one of the things about the arm that is on the BillyBot is that it's actually a very simple arm, you know, which makes it a lot easier to build and put together and everything, but also sort of emphasizes the fact that a lot of robots don't need a very complicated arm. A lot of the research arms that we have you know, 7 joints, so they can, you know, move to any position possible. And this makes them incredibly expensive, and they end up only being able to pick up, you know, a few ounces, you know, even though you have a huge arm. Whereas if you only have one joint, you can actually, the BillyBot arm can pick up 3 pounds, you know, is just done with fairly cheap components.
Can you describe a bit more what it looks like? You know, where is the iCray, where is the Kinect, where is the arm?
So the Kinect is on top. It sort of has sort of a stalk that goes up from the main base. It sort of looks, I guess, like a hammerhead type robot. And then we put the computer on top of the create base so that it fits within the circular profile of the create, so it can, you know, turn around and everything without hitting objects. And we tried to actually keep the flow of the whole design so that it actually fits together and has sort of a more appealing shape than some other robots out there.
You're obviously a robot passionate. What would you like to see this robot do?
One of the big goals for this robot is to have it sort of pick up your room. I actually worked as an intern at iRobot for a couple of years, and so I would talk to a lot of people about what they thought about their Roomba. And a lot of the responses that I got from people were like, that's great, it can vacuum. I wish it could pick up my floor now. And so the BillyBot actually has the ability now to sense, detect the things on your floor and, you know, go and pick them up. And so I think that would be a great application of that. Other things, one of the pillars of robotics, you know, one of the 3 main goals, I would say, that roboticists, or at least hobby roboticists, tend to have is to fetch you a beer from your fridge. And I think if you have a mini fridge, that is a very doable task for the BillyBot.
You have a PR2 sitting next to your BillyBot in the office. Which one would you pick for which tasks?
If I had the choice of a BillyBot and a PR2, I think I would choose the PR2. But I don't think I would ever really have that choice, because the PR2 costs 400 times as much as the BillyBot does. There are some tasks that the BillyBot actually can do that the PR2 can't do. One thing that I'm going to do soon is have a video showing what the PR2 can pick up versus what the BillyBot can pick up, and it will be it'll be a lot of fun if the BillyBot can actually pick up heavier objects than the PR2 can. The BillyBot can just use its small frame, you know, to actually get places that maybe the PR2 couldn't go.
You mentioned that the Kinect was one of the enablers. How easy is it to use this sensor?
It's actually very easy. Under the qualifications that you're running Linux and have some software that is you're using to decode it, which is a big qualifier, I know. But if you're running Ubuntu, which is the flavor of Linux, you're able to have everything installed with, you know, 2 commands to be able to see all the data that's coming out of the Kinect. So in that sense, it's very simple to use the Kinect. If you're in Windows or if you don't want to use the given software, it can be harder. In general, though, the Kinect is very easy to interface with. It's basically like a webcam, except it gives out two images. One is the normal webcam image, and then the other is just an image that each pixel tells you how far back the object is.
Okay, let's look a bit more into the business. Who do you see buying a BillyBot?
So currently we're targeting developers and educators, a lot of people who are trying to encourage their children to learn how to program, learn how to be an engineer. The hobbyist type person who has been trying to build a robot that can actually do something useful and realizes that $1,000 is actually far less than what they end up paying over the years of trying to put various things together and having it break. That said, this is sort of the first edition of BillyBot. We hope that down the road, we can get enough people buying this and developing applications that we can make a more, general consumer version of this that will appeal to people who don't know anything about programming but might just have a smartphone where they could download applications that, other coders wrote for them.
So more on the side of service robotics.
Mm-hmm.
Are you currently thinking of how to develop the user community?
Yes. I mean, that's a big concern of the whole project. It's part of the reason why we're giving away this promotion, which is basically we're selling the BillyBot at or maybe even below cost. And we're doing that on the condition that they release all their code, that they agree to put their code in an app store when it gets finalized, and that they make a video of them using the robot. And so the effect here is that people who don't know how to use ROS will start asking questions and start learning how to use ROS, and they'll get involved in the community that way. And people who do know how to use ROS will become more vocal because they'll actually be contributing and showing off an application that they made. So we hope to sort of target both ends of the community that way and bring them together.
Is it tricky to put together a product that uses parts from different companies like iRobot, Willow Garage, all this stuff?
It is a bit. I mean, ROS was made to integrate robot parts. So it actually helped tremendously in building this robot. The Create was actually also made to be used as a development platform. I was at iRobot when the Create was first being made, and so I actually had a lot of experience using the Create from that time. And as I said, the Kinect wasn't too hard, so... there's a lot of work in putting everything together, a lot of things that I didn't foresee being a problem, like, cropping up, but generally it's been a very nice experience putting this robot together.
Your robot is very affordable, I think $1,200 right now.
Mm-hmm.
What's the business model? How are you going to make money out of this?
So the business model is basically to first get a lot of people using the robot. And then, we're actually offering a discount, which makes it even less than $1,200. And that's just basically to get people started using this. Mostly we want to just be selling large amounts of these. We don't have a lot of overhead right now, so actually, selling them at $1,200 works out well for us. And another source of income down the road that we are looking to is actually opening up a robot app store. And so we're very interested in, you know, all these developers submitting code, and then we can basically go through a process where they can boil their code down into one application that you can just download, you know, maybe from your phone, and that'll just install it on your robot, and then your robot will then have that behavior. And sort of the same way Android markets, you know, that has a lot of people just downloads behavior, you know, because it's easy, or downloads apps because it's easy. We're hoping the same thing will happen with the BillyBot.
This is a pretty young project. Do you have any tips for people who are starting similar projects, like how to make their project take off?
Publicity is key. yeah, so, you know, go and do a podcast. yeah, you'll find that there are a ton of people out there with all kinds of resources that they will basically give you for free. But you won't know about any of them until you, like, actually get the word out. I mean, most of the people who work on BillyBot right now do so for free, and they're just willing to spend hundreds of man hours because they really like what the project is. So, I mean, if you have something that you're really passionate about and you think other people are passionate about, you should tell everyone that you know about it and, you know, see if there are other people out there with your same passion.
What will be your next steps?
So this summer we're going to start, we are hiring interns for the summer. And so we're going to really start doing some major production. We have a couple big orders that we're looking to fill, so that, you know, we're really ramping up in the number of BillyBots that we're going to be putting out. And we're going to move back to California. So that's sort of a personal thing that, you know, is just part of my life, that I'm actually moving back to California with my fiance, but the company is moving with me, which is okay because it's small enough at the moment to do that. And so we're actually going to be, you know, basically in or near Silicon Valley, and that's going to be a lot of new people that can be involved, and a lot of, you know, it's going to be a very exciting environment.
So this is really going to spin off into a real company.
That's the hope. That's the hope.
Excellent. I really hope it works. So thanks, Garrett, for being here with us on Robots.
Sure. My pleasure.
And that's it for today's episode. As always, if you want more information about the BillyBot or any of our other episodes, visit our website at www.robotspodcast.com. Join us again next time. Until then, goodbye. Inspire with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.